It's been just over a month since the tsunami devastated coastal areas across the Indian Ocean. The death toll continues to rise. Some estimate that more than 280,000 people died in the disaster. Gillian Dunn of the International Rescue Committee is in Indonesia's Aceh province, the hardest hit area, and she joins me on the phone. Welcome.
Thank you.
How do things look there on the ground today?
Well, people are really beginning to try to go back to their former ways of life as much as they can. People are rebuilding with items that are left in the rubble and are even trying to do some small agricultural projects on the western coastal areas.
For so long, there was a problem of just basic things like enough food and latrines and so forth. Is that a problem anymore?
Well, it really depends on the access issues and how quickly people are able to go back to the former ways for them to get food. For example, in a city like Banda Aceh or Malabo, we already see that the markets are bustling again and people do have access to food. In some of the more rural areas, you might find that rice paddies have been destroyed, fishing boats have been pushed 2 kilometers inland, and people really don't have a way of providing themselves with food for the moment. However, I do think that they will be able to move out of that emergency food aid phase rather quickly.
What about disease and the health of the population there?
We've been able to stave off any major epidemics to date, but there are still continued fears of measles outbreaks as well as malaria and dengue fever. And for measles, the vaccination rate here is very low, even in the best of times. And when you have overcrowded conditions like we're finding now, a measles outbreak can be deadly to hundreds of children within a very short time period.
One of the most moving and sad parts of this story for some people in the West who read and saw about it was the large number of children killed and then also the large number orphaned. What are you able to do today for the children whose parents were killed?
Our concern is to make sure that children are integrated back into the community, preferably with relatives, but somehow that a member of the community is taking care of that child.
I saw one account of a community where more than 20% of the homes were hosting orphaned children from the tsunami.
Yes, that is a typical number. There was a large number of children who lost one or both parents, and communities have taken in the children. Obviously, it's a large strain on the community, but they've reacted very positively to taking in children who have lost one or more of their parents.
Some fishing villages seem to have been essentially wiped out, and we read reports that people are afraid of the sea. Are you urging people to relocate back to those communities?
No, we're not urging people to relocate or to stay where they are. We are really following people where they want to go. We get mixed reactions from people. Some are very much afraid to go back near the water, but some almost laugh at us when we suggest that they might be nervous about going back into the ocean. These are generations of fishermen, and fishing is their lives and has been their lives for generations, and they are more than ready to get back and to continuing their lives as fishermen.
Gillian Dunn is an emergency team coordinator with the International Rescue Committee, and she joined me by phone from Banda Aceh in Indonesia. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.